Right, if you have your Bible, open to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Do a little bit different this morning. I'm going to give you some information and preach a little. I think a lot of times we do a whole lot of preaching and teaching, and then you're not aware of some of the things we got going in the church, good things. One of the things that I had to talk to you about this morning before we get started in this is most everybody's aware of what's going on in the West Texas fires. Anybody not know what's going on? Who's like living in dark? All right, everybody knows what's going on. 1.something million acres have burned out there, and people losing everything. Anyhow, this week I was praying about how we might get involved, how to help those people. You know, the Bible said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." That's our neighbors. You know, we like to a lot of times do a lot of complaining about, you know, the government and people depending on the government. And I'm going, you know, honestly, in a situation like that, it's not the government's role to take care of those people. It's church. Four people agree with that. It's the church's role. If we love people like Jesus, we would give. Okay? So y'all wake up. We're not sleeping this morning. Anybody sleeping, need to go to the house, take a nap. Okay? So anyhow, I was praying about that. So I started calling around, calling some people, and we actually have somebody who has family in that direct area. And I was talking to them, like, I know we're out here. You know, I don't like just to send money. Is there anything that those people need that we could help with? And they said, actually, the greatest need is hay, because everything's burnt up and their cows are starving to death. And there are some organizations that's trying to gather up some hay, but there's a lot of red tape. So while they're having to go through filling out paperwork and jump through the loopholes, cows are dying and people are suffering from it. So anyhow, I called a friend of mine, and he has a friend of his, and there was a place in Oklahoma, a friend of his has hay, and said, if the church wants to give this, I would sell you an 18-wheeler load of hay and deliver it free for $2,500, which is 40 to 50 bales of hay average. And so anyhow, I called around everybody that I could, leadership in the church, and like, this is what I'd like to do if y'all want to do this. Everybody was for it. And so called it back and said, let's do that. So as a church, you know, hopefully everybody's good with that. I can't call everybody in the church. That's why we have leadership that you put in the positions that you trust. And so in that, we wanted to do that, and the opportunity to come up to do two trucks, and we actually had enough money that people was finding out and saying, I'll give this and I'll give this, to where we came up with $1,500 more, and so we're $1,000 short. So if anybody wants to give that day, if you don't, we'll cover it, and I'll cover it. But if you want to give that day, we'll take up a love offering afterwards. And anyhow, to tell you, I started calling around some different churches and sending out some stuff, and actually there's several other churches now that are trying to generate some things and send it out there. And, you know, the key mission of the church is to make Jesus known. And, you know, I'm like, I want to make him known. And you say, well, that's out in West Texas. What does that got to do with our community? He said, go into all the world. To me, that's all the world. And so our desire is not just to come to church and to learn and to get more knowledge and more knowledge and more knowledge. And our desire as a church body is to be the physical representation of Jesus on earth, and to reach out and make his name known, and to show the love of God to people wherever we get the opportunity, and to use the resources that God gives us to honor and glorify him. So I want to read to you just a couple of ministries that we have going on in church, because I know there's a lot of people that you come on Sunday morning, maybe you don't have the opportunity to come, and we talk a lot about these on Wednesday nights and other times, and a lot of times Sunday morning we're just in a rush to go through and get up and preach and that kind of stuff. I figure I've done enough preaching that you'll survive another week without a whole lot. So anyhow, just to give you some areas to where if you want to be involved, that you can be involved. Number one, we have our children's ministries. You know, Sunday night we have Awana's. This morning, I just want to praise God for the people who are next door watching all those kids, and not just watching them, but investing seed into those babies. We are in a time and a day where they need to have that invested in them. A lot of opportunities there. We have Sunday school. you know, where you can come and you can be a part. I know when a church starts to get larger, it's hard to know everybody. It's hard to connect. One of the ways that you can connect into a group is to find you a Sunday school class. You know, I'll say this, get up an hour early. You do it for money. Get up and come to church. You know, let's be honest. I know it's easy to sleep in, but it's also better. You're going to get far better blessing out of being here, having your kids. We've got incredible Sunday school teachers for our kids, for the youth, for the adults. You can pick what class you want to go to, and you can connect with the group there. We have the men's and ladies on Wednesday nights, and Willie does a class. But it's not just classes, okay? What my concern is and my purpose for you is I want you to connect. I want us to connect to you. You know, let's just be honest this morning. It's going to be kind of blunt. As far as preaching, you could stay home today like a lot of people do. Seems like since COVID, people are like, well, we just don't go to church. We just Facebook. That's not church. I just want to say that Facebook is not church. But you could stay home and you could pull up a whole lot better preaching on Facebook if you just want to hear preaching. You know, actually, you can do that every day, 10 times a day if you want to. You have access to all kind of good information and preaching and teaching that you can listen to every day until you finally come to the place to where if you're a theologian, you go, all right, what else can I learn? Now you got to decide, what does God want me to do with all this knowledge I have? And that's not my concern. I want you to learn God's word, and I want to equip you to do what God's called you to do. But more than that, I want you to be connected in the church the way God designed it so that we can minister to one another. You encourage me. I encourage you, you know, that we share in what we have in the faith. And that's one of the areas, you know, our men's group have. And one of the reasons I'm going through this is because I hear people go, well, people came to church and they didn't know where they could serve, so they left. Okay, no reason to leave now. You know, you got to, and another thing with the men and lady group, we do a lot of things together, and we want all men, all the men, all the ladies. Like Renee's having that get together house. That's where you get to know people. You're not going to get to know people here on Sunday morning. I mean, you might go up and shake their hand. Hey, how you doing? But you don't know what they like, who they are, what their issues are. You don't really want to know what their issues are. So. But how you can, a church should be a place where we find our greatest friendships. It should be the place where we connect with the family, okay? And so in that, like, we're going on the fishing trip in April and with the men's group, and we get together and we do all kinds of things. And I know some of you men go, well, I don't hunt and I don't fish, so I don't fit in with the men. Well, then why don't you come to the men's group and make some suggestions of things we can do besides fish and hunt? Because the only ones that come are the ones who fish and hunt. You know, if you play golf, we'll go out there and look stupid with you, and we'll laugh, and we'll have a good time, or whatever it is that you do, but don't feel like the activity limits you from knowing the people. Right. Make sense? Then we got the ministry of fathers in the field, where we want to impact young men's lives, where you can be involved in that, either serving through it or being involved directly as a mentor. We got missionaries that we support, and that we need people who can connect with them and pray for them. We got our fourth Sunday breakfast that we have every fourth Sunday during Sunday school. If you want to come, you know, most of the time we have everything provided. If you want to be a part, bring good food and fellowship and get to know people there. We have opportunities for you to give. You know, we had like the Gideons came through and we was giving for the Bibles, and we have mercy ministries like the West Texas deal. And we have this new thing that we're trying to do, the Night of Hope. The Night of Hope thing is a ministry we were trying to build to reach college age kids. You know why? Because kids grow up in church and it seems like they're there, and all of a sudden when they get away from mom and dad and they graduate from high school, there's a place where we're missing that group of people. The church isn't holding on to and connecting with them. And that's one of the most decision-making moments of their life that's going to radically alter the direction that they go. And so we as a church want to reach those people, those crazy, wild young people. We want to reach them for Jesus and help direct their lives in a way where they'll see God and they'll see the blessing and favor of God in their life. So if you want to be a part of that, prison ministries, we're going just about every weekend now, sometimes twice a weekend, to the prison ministries and going out there and ministering to those. That now, that's a men's ministry at this point. And there's a way that you can sign up. And it is a long process, so don't be discouraged. But you can go, and I think every man that's gone has really been like, man, I wasn't expecting that, and I loved it. And you have the opportunity to talk to those inmates, to share the gospel, to pray with them, to encourage them, everything God's called us to do. You know, the boys have their ministry, Ban Reeves, and what all they got going on. They have areas where people can be involved in that, especially in prayer and encouraging and that kind of stuff. Then you have your house ministries. So what is your house ministries? It means you invite people to your house. You know, honestly, well, just in case you know, we just started this. So if you hadn't been there yet, don't want nobody to get all swole up. But on Sunday nights during Awana's, my wife and I are trying to invite, you know, at least two families over to our house almost every Sunday night. You know why? Because I've been your pastor for years and I don't know half of you. Know you. You know what I'm talking about? And I want to know you. You might not want to be known, but I want to know you if I'm going to be your pastor. If I'm going to have to preach over your casket, I'd like to be able to say a couple of things nice other than I seen them on church on Sunday. And so God designed, and that's sad, but I've buried a bunch of people that I was their pastor. I'm like, I'm sorry, I really don't know them that well, and I can't say a whole lot about them. I'm like, I hate that. I hate that. I want to be able to stand up here and say, that dude. No, I ain't going to say that. Careful what I say. I know some of you too well. But anyhow, I just want you to know, and this goes along with my message, the church isn't what America culture has tried to make it as far as a place that you just come and you go through a process of, it's for you to hear the music, for you to hear the message, and you put your time in, and now you're going about your life. That's not the way God designed the church. That's really not that enjoyable if we were honest. If that's all you do, it's like, what's the big deal? And I'd say, what's the big deal? You know, turn it on the radio, go to TV. But when we begin to be involved and build a church that Jesus designed, it is absolutely amazing. And honest to God, is, you know, I've been praying here lately about, God, what is our purpose? You know, what is my wife and I's purpose here at this church? What is the church's purpose? What is our mission? Because I don't want to just come and do this every week. If that's all there is to it, I want to find something different, to be honest with you. There is a mission, and our desire is to build, number one, a scriptural church whose desire is to share the gospel and to share Jesus with as many people as we can possibly share. But we also want to have a church that when people come and they're a part of it, they're like, wow, this isn't full of hypocrites. Hey, I know some of these people, and they're actually living for Jesus the other 6 days a week. And they're not involved in ungodliness. And they're not two different people that you see. Because I hear that so much that I get so sick of it. And in a lot of ways, it's true. You know, one of the most discouraging things, you know, if you're involved in ministry, not just for the pastors, for teachers and youth workers and people who are diligently serving the church, for you to go to church with people and then you see them the rest of the week, sometimes they won't even talk to you if they see you in Walmart. Like, wait a second, you hug me on Sunday, but you're ignoring me here. Or you see people who are living two different lifestyles. They project one thing, but they live another. And I'm like, if I was lost, I probably wouldn't want no part of that either. And I realize that we all, let's say this, nobody's sinless or perfect. But don't just flash out and go, well, everybody does it. No, not everybody does it. Not everybody lives two different lifestyles. Not everybody lives like the world comes to church on Sunday. Don't say that, because we don't. And we don't want to. Some of us fall, but we get back up. And then, you know what? When you fall, I'm here to pick you back up. Not to judge you or stomp on you, but to go, you're doing great, let's keep going. And so in that, the thing I've been praying about is, God, I want a church that's true. I want a church that when I come to see you on Sunday and I say, hey, I love you on Monday too. And I encourage you on Sunday, I want to encourage you on Wednesday too. And I'm reading the Bible and preaching. I don't want to just read it and preach it. I want to read it for myself. I want to walk in God's word. And I want to try to be an example for you as you're an example for me. Does that make sense? So in that, looking in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul starts off here and he says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there. When you look at Paul, he's writing to the church of Philippi here, and he's talking about when he says, let me find a place where he says, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy. And like, what is Paul talking about there to the church that they would fulfill his joy? What would fulfill his joy? If you look, Paul lists the effects, four effects here that Jesus has on the heart. Okay, four effects. If you're a born again believer, God's Spirit is in you. He has this effect on every believer. So when we go through this, if he hasn't had this effect on you, then you could probably assume you're not a believer. You got that, okay? At this church, we don't promote, if you walk the aisle and pray the sinner's prayer to somebody come up with, you're a Christian. That's not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is the effects that the Holy Spirit has on every believer in whom he lives in. So when we look at this, he starts off and he says in verse 1, if there's any consolation in Christ, consolation or encouragement, do you have any encouragement from what? Belonging to Christ. That means he has redeemed you. He has bought you back from sin. If that's true, Jesus wants his ownership in our lives to give us great courage. Courage that we have because we belong to him. That's a hope. That means no matter what I watch on the news, no matter what I got going on live, because I belong to him, that changes everything. It gives me a great hope in who he is and what the results are because I belong to him. It is, God wants us to have the newness of life in us, like the Bible speaks. Courage empowers us to pursue the opportunities that he gives us. And so if I have Christ in me and I belong to him, that means I'm going to look at life very different. And I'm going to look at challenges very different. And I'm going to go about opportunities very different because I'm encouraged. I have courage in me. And I look and go, why are so many believers discouraged? Why are so many believers down? I'm just going to hammer this right here this morning. Church. And I'm not talking about a place. I'm talking about the people. It seems like to me that what the press of the church culture in America is that, well, church is the place and the people where you go and you share all of your issues, all of your troubles, all of your sorrows, all of your trials, and that's what we're there for. We're here to help everybody with their issues. I'm like, and then all of a sudden there's depression and discouragement and all these things. I'm like, hold on a second. It's not what the Bible teaches. Are we here to help people with issues? Yeah. But why do we have so many issues? Why is there so much discouragement? Why is there so much fighting and battling depression? And I realize we live in a world that's a hellish place to live at this point in time. But what I am saying is, you need to take your focus off of all the things that Satan's using because it's from the devil. Depression is not from Jesus. Discouragement is not from Jesus. We need to come back to the place to go, well, wait a second. I can choose one way or the other. I can choose to focus on one thing or I could choose to focus and invest in the other. And there's so many people who are choosing to focus and invest in all the troubles and all the issues and all the trials. Like, hey, what happened this week? Immediately people begin to think, okay, what bad things happened that I can share this week? Like, why are we thinking about, why don't we think about all the goodness of God and all the blessings of God and all the favor of God and all the actions of God that I've seen this week in my life? And I begin to speak those things. I don't know if y'all heard the song. It's Praise. Brandon Lake sings it. There's another one that I Am They came out with their version. I started listening to this week. Actually, Josh McKinney posted something. It was hilarious. They showed a guy. I'll just give you this. He showed a guy. He's standing there in church, and it said what teenagers look like when they worship. And he was like, I yawn and all this, and it said, and then it changed, and it was playing that song, and the guy was jumping around dancing. And then it's like, this is what happens when you've been through hell in your life and realize you need Jesus. And I'm like, so anyhow, that got me started listening to that song. I've been listening over and over and over this week. And so in that, there's one verse in that song that says, praise is the water that drowns my enemies. And I'm like, that's what I want in my life. I want to choose praise. I want to choose gratitude. I want to choose thankfulness. And I'll say this again later in the weeks to come, but you know that this is a a scientific fact. Research, I'm going to try to sound educated here for a second. Research shows it is impossible for you to give gratitude or to give thanks and to be negative or to be depressed and to be anxious at the same time. It's impossible. And like God designed us that way, and the devil's always trying to get your attention and capture you away. And the Lord's like, won't you put your eyes on me and let the fact that you belong to me and I'm going to do everything I promised for you, let that bring you some encouragement. You know, the second thing he says, is there any comfort from his love? You know, God gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go away, I will send a comforter for you. The effects that Christ has on us that we should, he wants us to have a great peacefulness and an unwavering assurance of his love towards us. God wants, believers, we should have, man, I have a great peacefulness. I'm absolutely assured that God loves me. So how can I be assured of that? Go stand at the foot of the cross. Jesus said he demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And that should give us assurance. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. How, why? As a guarantee. This is a deposit from heaven that I'm going to take you home. You have utter assurance. Yet it seems like so many people who are believers or say they are troubled and restless in their relationship to God, and they're almost spiritually awkward. You know a person who's socially awkward? I do, me, okay? I'm okay here. And a lot of you know this, but when I get out from behind the Bible and I start trying to relate to people, I got a whole lot, not as much as I used to, but a whole lot of social awkwardness. You get in those places where you go, I don't know what to say. I don't know these people. I feel like, Any of y'all weirdos too? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we do that with the Lord. It's like, I'm just spiritually awkward. What do you pray for? I really don't know how to pray. It feels funny to pray. A lot of men are bad about this. You know, like, do you pray with your wife? No, it's just kind of awkward. What you're saying is I'm spiritually awkward. I don't feel comfortable around Jesus. I don't feel comfortable talking about God's word. I don't feel comfortable talking to my friends about, you know, Jesus and all these things. That's religion. It's not religion. It's a relationship. And he said, you know, here's what Jesus wants. He said, I want you to be at home with me. He actually said in John chapter 14, me and my Father, we're going to make our home in you. You know, we shouldn't be uncomfortable in our home. I guess there's a situation where you go, man, I don't feel comfortable right now. But anyhow, most of the time we should go in and kick back in the chair and go, this is my home. This is where I feel most comfortable. Jesus is like, I want you to feel most comfortable in our relationship together. That his love for you comforts your heart. Even when you mess up the greatest. And I remember back when I was a kid and I messed up the greatest in many times. I always found great comfort going to talk to my mama. You know, about anything. I could go to her in my greatest stupidity. And I knew what I was going to get. I was going to get grace. And in your greatest stupidity as a believer, finding comfort in Jesus' love, I mean, I can go to him and go, Lord, I'm stupid today. And you know what he always gives you? Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Third thing is fellowship of the Spirit. Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? So I'd ask you this morning, where are you at with the first two? Do you have encouragement in your heart from belonging to Christ? Are you comforted because of his love for you? Number three, do you have fellowship of the Spirit? That means the influence of his Spirit within our lives. It means we hear the Lord. We see the Lord. I asked a couple of people today, I was like, where did you see Jesus this week? It was awesome because both of them went bam, bam, and they started giving me some. One of the girl took a little bit longer. I won't tell you her name. But Jacob McNally busted it out there. He's like, oh, let me tell you. And he's like, I saw Jesus here, I saw Jesus there. You know what that did for me? I was like, man, he saw him a whole lot more than I did this week. God caused me to go, this week, I'm going to start paying attention. I'm going to put myself in the place where I see the Lord. And I'm walking alongside. Fellowship of the Spirit means I'm working alongside of Jesus. That I'm where he's at. That I'm hearing his voice. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't hear God's voice, then you're not his. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. John chapter 10. And so in that, the fellowship of the Spirit means that we're responding to God's Spirit within us. It means he makes a huge impression on our lives. Think about that. How many of you could say, if I just look back this week, I don't have to go back far, what kind of impression did the Spirit of God in you make on your life? What kind of impression did he make on other people around you through your life? Because that's what it means to have fellowship with the Spirit. Listen to me. Get out of that old thought process that the only thing the Holy Spirit does is make you feel bad when you sin. That's called, and we use the word conviction. I hear people say all the time, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're a born-again believer? Because the Spirit convicts me. Last time I checked, conviction is something that happens when somebody breaks the law and they convict you. And you are guilty. The Bible says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there's now, therefore, no condemnation. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict. What he does is he brings to light when I'm sinning against God. He will bring it to light. But his purpose is to point me to Jesus, to bring the hope of the word and forgiveness. He's always like, you need to go talk to Jesus about that because he's going to fix that. You need to turn away from that because this is what the devil's using to move you in the place you don't need to be. The Holy Spirit is always positive, always in everything. He always projects love. He always brings the word of God. His whole purpose is, look at Jesus, magnify Jesus. The devil's purpose is, look at you. Look at what you've done. You failed again. You did this again. You didn't do that again. Look at you. Blah, 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 blah. Usually happens about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, doesn't it? Oh, you're going to go to church. Well, think about what you did this week. Think about what you didn't do this week. Think about what God didn't do for you this week. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's like, hold on a second. And this is where I think some of us need to go. When you start hearing that, you need to stop. And here's what you need to go. You shut up. You know what Jesus did? Get behind me, Satan. Shut up. I ain't listening to you. I'm going to stop right now. This is not even, it's off the top of my head. Because I think so many people, you listen to the wrong voice and it starts pushing you away from the one who's pursuing you. We start looking at ourselves. Ourselves have never been good. You realize that? Yourself, myself. The only thing that, and we'll go into that next week, the only place for self in the church is crucify yourself. My hope is in Jesus. I encourage you every morning when you get up and you start to pray, try this. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name in who I trust for my righteousness. I offer you no righteousness this morning, God, but I thank you I can come boldly to the throne of grace, offering you the righteousness of Jesus that he bought and paid for me because he loved me on the cross. I come to you as a son of God this morning. And I just want to start off by praising you. You know, that's authority of God's word. That's what each one of you as a child of God have. You have been given the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Quit listening to the devil lie to you and try to keep you away from the presence of the Lord. So in that, the last one is, notice he said, any affection and mercy. Any affection and mercy. I looked up those words and it means an humble kindness, concern for others, and a desire to express God's love. So do you have that in your heart today because you have Jesus? Here's the thing. Jesus wants to love others through us. You think about this. Prior to accepting Christ as your Savior, a major part of you was dead. The Bible said our soul, who we are inside, the core being, when the Bible speaks about the heart, it's talking about the most inward part of you, who you really are. You are not a body with a soul. You are a soul embodied. And in that, your sin has you separated from God. If you're here and you've never repented and trusted in Jesus as your Savior, what he's done for you, what he wants to give you, if you've never come before God and trusted Jesus as your Savior, then your soul is dead inside and separated from God because of your sin. That's why Christ came. He came in order to pay the penalty for our sin so that when we turn to him, his Spirit, get this, his Spirit literally unites with us. You remember when God created Adam, God molded Adam with his hand and breathed in him his breath of life. When you trust in Jesus, God's Spirit enters inside of you, breathes into you that same breath, and you come, a spiritual resurrection takes place. Now you've been made alive to God in Christ Jesus. That makes sense? And that's eternal life. You don't lose that. It's not a performance to keep up with it. But once you were saved, your soul is alive. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit pours out his love in our hearts. Fills us up. Remember in the Psalm 23, David said, my cup does what? Runs over. How does it run over? Because he, Jesus, leads me to lay down, rest in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Then he leads me down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And he says, my cup runs over. My cup runs even in the presence of my enemy. That overflow is God's love. That overflow is praise to the Lord, even in the presence of my enemy. And so in that, I just want to encourage you. Do you see how positive and hopeful and powerful that Jesus has on our hearts? Listen to me. He can't have that effect on your heart and it not come out of your life. He actually said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We live from within. The Bible said, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Go back to what I started with. Why we have so many issues. Thinking, I think we need to come back to the place just to look at the simple things of God's word and go, you know what? I've been lied to. The devil's lying to me because God's not mad at me. God has forgiven me. I'm not performing to keep God happy. Jesus performed and put on a dazzling show. And I can find comfort and hope and love, and I can be positive. And here's the thing. What we've done is we've turned this whole Christianity thing into this process and this progress, and you take these steps. Okay, here's how do you become a Christian? Well, you start coming to church, you know, and kind of clean up your act a little bit. Then you come to church, and not everybody's looking down on you. You hear this emotional, moving message. You come up front that you really don't want to come up front, that the Bible has anything about coming up front of a church. And you talk to the preacher and he prays this prayer for you and he tells you you're saved now. And now you get baptized on a Sunday and everybody's happy for you. And now you're a part of the church. And now here's your progress. You got to make sure you're doing all this and you're reading your Bible and you're going to church and you got this list of things that you got to keep up with to make sure that you really got saved or that you really stay saved. And, you know, and now the preacher's making me feel guilty. I'm being convicted by this Holy Spirit that I need to go tell people about this great thing that he told me Jesus has done for me. Does that sound familiar? I'm like, what? If we was to all come to the place to go, has Jesus had this effect in my heart? Absolutely. If he hasn't, maybe you need to talk to him. But if he has, why is it so difficult to praise or to proclaim or to enjoy coming to church or to do anything? You do those things now because actually I read a little bit further from where Jake preached last week. You know, Jake preached last week on, anybody remember? Okay. Jake preached last week on the judgment seat of Christ that we'll all give an account, we'll be rewarded, or we'll lose reward. Think about this. If you read a little bit further down that text, it says, we are compelled, driven, motivated by what? The love of Christ. The love of Christ. What causes me to go, you know what, I want to do and I want to serve and I want to be faithful to the Lord? I didn't leave here after Jake preached that message going, man, I feel really guilty. I haven't been doing enough and I better get busy doing stuff so I get rewards. I left here and went, God loves me so much. You know, how can I not want to serve the Lord? If all the things he's done for me in my life and the fact that he raised me from the dead and he's given me eternal life and that I can come into God's presence every day knowing that I'm loved and I walk in God's favor, that I can expect God's blessing in my life, that I know I have the promises of God and he's working in my life, even in the difficult things, even in the troubled times, God's working it for my good, for his glory, that he offers me to be a part of a kingdom service to him that I'm going to actually be rewarded for later. I'm like, who would not want that program? So in this, say, what does he compel us to do? I'm almost finished. Give me about 5 minutes. I'm going to finish this up quick. He compels us to community. He compels us to community. Think about this. Look at all the way through the Bible, even Old Testament, especially in the New Testament. The book of Acts, what happens? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people are saved. They believe. They're born again. They're baptized and added to the church. And what happens after that? They build this big community. They didn't all just go, oh, that was good. I enjoyed that service. See you later. Hopefully, maybe I'll come back in a couple of weeks. They actually met every day. Nobody told them, hey, you need to do this. They just naturally did it. And here's the thing. People who are born again and the love of God is in you, it naturally compels us to connect to other people who love Jesus. It's just natural. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that He does within us because we desire to share that love that we've experienced with other people. That's why He says, be of one accord, like-minded. It means I enjoy, actually. And the Bible says this. If you don't enjoy getting together with brothers and sisters in Christ to worship, to serve, to carry out the mission of God, to hear God's word, to share God's word, to be a blessing to other people, you're not saved. So you're judging me. Absolutely judging you according to the scripture, the authority of salvation. You are not saved if you don't enjoy those things. And I know what somebody's thinking. Don't tell me I'm not saved, preacher. You don't know. I prayed the prayer. A whole lot of people in hell today have prayed the prayer. The question is, what effect has the gospel had on your heart and in your life? Think about this. Why does God build a community? That community is called the church. Jesus calls it the body of Christ. It means we are a physical representation of Jesus on earth. Not one person can physically represent the Lord fully. He's like, all right, I got to have all these crazy people that I've saved, bring them all together, and they can kind of give the world a glimpse of who I am and what my love is like and what it's like to come in contact with me. When people came in contact with Jesus when He was on earth, think about the ramifications of that. Think about the impression that He made on those people. Multitudes followed Him. He was thronged. When is the last time our church got thronged? I don't know. Maybe we need to kind of think about that. Right? Like, if we're really representing Jesus, I think the world would be like, you know what? I don't know what they got going on there, but I just got to go check that out. And I realize a lot of them are going to reject it, but there's going to be a whole lot more people. If we were actually a community, clearly, I want to clarify this. Facebook is not community, biblically. If it was, I got friends everywhere I ain't even never met. That's not community. It can be a tool to help strengthen community. But community is not Facebook. It's face-to-face. Face-to-face. I can text Blake a text, and he can misunderstand what I'm saying. He can misread what I'm trying to say. I can look at him face-to-face, and we're going to be real clear about what we're trying to communicate. I can't text him and go, hey, buddy, heard you was broke, praying for you. Face-to-face, I can go, here, buddy, I want to help you best I can. You understand what I'm saying? Why God built community? Why our church should be a community? I don't want to just text you and go, I'm praying for you. I want to come face to face with you and go, I want to pray with you. There's power. Listen to me. There's power in going to somebody and go, I know you're going through difficulty. I'm not just going to say, hey, I'm praying for you. I want to put you on the prayer list. Let's just get down before the Lord right now. Let's just open up heaven together and let's just pour out our heart to God for you and for God to move in your life. And let's just see what He'll do. Can you imagine what it would be like? Amen. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a church like that? We have some of that. But let's not get on a high horse. We're way off. I have been a part of this church at times, and I've been a part of another church at times. It was incredible. I've seen God move in two different churches that I pastored that blew my mind. That I actually could not wait till the next time we come together for a prayer service. Not a preaching service, but a prayer service, because I saw grown men, burly, grown, redneck, backwoods, uneducated men with their face on a carpet praying for their family, weeping for the Lord, and I saw God honor those prayers. That's powerful. That's what God desires for men. You know, one of the greatest testimonies, I'm not embarrassing, but it brings me, you want to talk about rejoicing, brings me great joy. I had a man who one of our men went to, I won't call his name out. The man that he was going to work for didn't go to our church at that time. But he said, you know, this guy came out to my house. I was talking to him. He said, this guy came out to my house. He said, he actually was talking to me about my relationship to Jesus. And he was like, I thought, wow, actually living it. Another one of our guys worked for him. And he's like, that dude shared Jesus with me. I'm like, that's my guys right there. I rejoice in that. I don't go to church with a bunch of cowards who live a life that they're embarrassed to share Jesus. I go to church with mighty men who are unashamed, and women who are unashamed of the gospel, who are concerned about other people's soul, who are not afraid to take the Lord out into the public. I praise God to be a part of a group of people like that. That's real. And so in that, Paul says, fulfill my joy. You know, here's the thing. I'm just going to read this and I'll be done right here. There's nothing greater on earth than to have a family that loves one another, that lives in harmony and peace, that experiences life together, that helps one another, that enjoys time together. And your church should just be an extension of your family. We should truly enjoy our fellowship together. Each have a part in the mission of our community. We should express love and kindness, stand for one another. If you're one of those who, after church you leave and your conversation is how you can critique everybody, shut up and quit that crap. That's what I tell my kids. Stand for one another. I always told my kids, I don't care what happens, you better stand together. If you see one of you getting beat up on, you go beat up on the person beating up on them. You stand for one another. You do your kids how you want to, all right? What I don't say is, and I'll just be honest with you, and every man knows it, and I said it on Wednesday night, if I ever drive up and I see somebody whooping on you, I promise you, I'm going to be in that fight. I'm not going to be going, oh, brother, Jesus wouldn't do this. He loves you. I'm going to be swinging. We'll talk about Jesus afterwards, but I'm not going to stand aside and watch one of my family get kicked on. That's right. I want to stand for you. And in other ways, too, okay? I want to stand for you before the Lord in prayer. I want to represent you. When you're down, I'm going to stand with you and go, I'm going to stand with you until you're back up. And you stand with me. I know I got that. We should pray for one another. That was my next part. Inspire one another. Worship together. Learn together and serve the Lord together. That's what community is. That's the mission of our church. That's the direction I'm going to head in my leadership. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. Maybe you're here today and go, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. The first step to community is that you come into community with Jesus. It's not about church. It's about your relationship to Him. God can save you today. He can save you right where you sit. You don't have to come up here. I can't save you. My prayer won't save you. The Bible says you just open your heart to the Lord, repent of your sin, and trust in what Jesus has done for you, that He'll save your soul, raise you to life, make you new, give you all those things that we just talked about. Then you come into a community that we're going to help build you up, encourage you, equip you, prepare you, teach you, love with you, worship you, do life with you, be friends with you. And we're going to stand with you. If you're not a part of that, then be a part of it. Quit riding the fence. You know, if you're here to go, oh, I just come in on Sunday and that's all I'm ever going to do, I don't know why you do it, if you want to be honest. It's a good waste of time. Go fishing. But if you're here today and go, I want to put some skin in the game. Most people don't like it when the preacher preaches on giving. I don't preach on giving a whole lot. You do what you want to do. But here's what I'm going to say. How are you a part if you don't give something? Well, I ain't giving my money. Keep your money stingy. Selfish. What about that? What else are you giving? Other than your blessed presence in the chairs that the church provided with money you didn't give. Amen? Amen. Let's get off this American attitude and go, you know what? Jesus is worth everything to me. And this is my family, and I'm gonna be a part of this, and I want to be involved in this, and I'm going to leave every Sunday empty because I poured myself out to the people that I love. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for my church family, God. I thank you for being a part of something that is supernatural. Something that's totally by your grace. God, and I know you have so much more that you want to do, that you just want to show us your glory. And I pray, God, that we'd be a people who our hearts would be humble before you. We'd be humble before one another. Never take for granted the blessing it is to be able to gather together and be a part of this. Lord, there's Christians all over this world this morning that do not have this blessing. Father, I pray we'd be a people. Your word said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. God, I pray that our community will see something very different in this church. Lord, I pray that you would just raise up people who have a love, your love inside of them, the effects that you've had in their life, that they can't contain it, that they've got to share it. they begin to share it in the church and then begin to share it out of the church. Lord, I know we have a whole lot of things that need correcting. No, God, there's no such thing as a perfect church, but God, there is a church that has a heart to pursue after you. Help us to be that people, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.